Will you take your Bibles, please, and turn to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 1. I want to speak to you in simple fashion this morning. Christmas is Christ in us, a simple statement, a profound truth. Matthew 1. I'm reading the King James this morning. You can follow along in your translation, whichever it may be. Chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, or in this fashion. When as his mother Mary was espoused or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin, really the virgin, shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took him unto him his wife. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee again for these sacred scriptures. They never grow old, Lord. If we ponder them, if we meditate, there'll be something always new by the Spirit of God coming to teach us and help us. Help us, Lord, to cut through the surfaces of this day's type of Christmas. Help us to cut through to right where this was at, for our minds to be here in Scripture just like it was these 2,000 years ago, and to find the present-day application for it. In Jesus' name, amen. The story is common to you. Mary and Joseph were engaged, and it says espoused or engaged, and in the Jewish culture, engagement in our Lord's day was tantamount or equal to marriage. The difference being they had not yet come together in physical union, but their engagement was as binding as marriage in our Western culture. This had not been always this way, taken so seriously by the Jews. In Moses' day, Moses took this rabble out of Egypt, had been there 400 years. He began cutting back on the sin of divorcing. And he said, no, you must make a written bill of divorce. You just can't throw a woman out on the street. You must have a written bill of divorce. And so Moses slowed it down there. Then it came to our Lord's day, and he slowed it down some more and said, no. You just can't say, get three men with you, your wife is there, she burned the soup, literally, and you say, I divorce thee, three times in the presence of men. They sign the paper, you stick it in her hand and send her out, and she's gone. And the Lord said, no more of that, because you get angry, because you don't like her for a day or a week, no way, except it be for porneia, or fornication, or sexual immorality. You cannot put away your wife. And so the Lord understood that people were not to be treated that way, and he squeezed it down again to what he said, but I say unto you. And for those of you who've come through the trauma and heartache of divorce, there's healing in Christ and a new start in him, as we do as his word indicates to us. Now then, Joseph found Mary with child, as she was, and he had two options. A, he could have her stoned according to Old Testament scripture. B, he could have her put away, divorce her. Notice it says divorce, put her away, even though it was engagement in our mind. That's how binding it was. He could, B, have her divorced publicly. C, he could put her away privately with the minimum amount of notoriety and public acknowledgement. He chose the last. So that's the story. And we come then to this scripture story again, so common, and yet I'm asking God to make it new and fresh to us all today. First of all, Mary was found with child by the Holy Spirit. Mary was found with child before they came together, before marriage. Now, this is a virgin birth. You said, you believe the virgin birth? Yes, I do. But because the scriptures state it. But if I didn't have the Bible, it would not stagger me because I don't even understand normal birth. How does man's seed and woman's seed get together with all the intricacies, with the mind-boggling possibilities, and a child is born with brains and mind and fingers and eyes and ears and speech and concepts, able to be taught. The normal birth is a miracle. I have no problem with the virgin birth. It says that that which was born of thee should be of the Holy Spirit. We understand from Genesis chapter 1 that when God was creating the world through Christ, who gave the commands which the Spirit did, that the Holy Spirit hovered upon the face of the deep. And the word is brood like a hen, to nourish into life. And so from the ministry of the Holy Spirit, from the Father and Son, all of the world was created, all forms of life brought into being. What is it to God if the Holy Spirit came on a woman and formed a human body in her for the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Nothing. You see, if you can get past the first four words in the Bible, you have no problem with the rest of the Bible. In the beginning, God. Once you pass that, you're home free. Once you pass that, your mind's open. Just get past the first four words, in the beginning, God, and then you're on your way and read what the rest of the Bible says about God. And so it is that the Holy Spirit brooded on the face of the deep, and whether it's lizards or stars or moons or fish or whatever, God the Holy Ghost brought them into being by the command of the Father and the Son. So when it said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, Mary said, how should these things be? Please notice, you may ask questions in faith, which Mary did. How can these things be? Or you can ask questions without faith, like, how should these things be when the angel came to Zacharias and said, your wife is going to have a child even though she's advanced in years. And he says, you're a priest, you should know these things. Boom, you won't be talking or doing any speech until the baby's born. You may ask questions in faith. Faith in Jesus Christ does not mean you can't ask a question. Mary did receive the blessing of God, but it was a heart of faith asking. That's why, no matter what faith I have in Christ, what faith you have in Christ, you're free to ask all kinds of questions. It's not a doubt, an aspersion on God to ask a question. In faith, how can this be, O Lord? I love you and believe you, but how does it happen? It's all right. But if you sit back and sulk, sit back when you should know a lot better, like Zechariah, then he got turned into a mute man for 9 months, and when the baby was born, his mouth was opened. Now, faith may ask questions. That's what I'm saying. Now, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. I believe in the virgin birth. I can't even understand the normal birth. Nobody else can. How does life exist in those two seeds? All the possibilities of genius and power, a mechanic and a maestro, an aviator and an artesian, a man with mechanical skills. I mean, it's a mind-boggling thing, just a baby. Don't worry about the virgin birth. The Holy Ghost does that every day, having babies around, sustaining life. All life is from Him and all life is sustained by Him. What's our problem? Nothing. Unless you trip on the first four words, in the beginning, God. Then you got a problem. So let's bring our little peanut minds to bear under the Scriptures. Let's bring all our towering Mickey Mouse intellects inside the light of God's magnificence, and we can sit back and put on our happy, blessed, sanctified dunce caps and learn from God. Amen. Amen. I did not say throw away your brains. I just said put them in the right drawer. That's all. Now, Mary was found with child of the virgin birth. Mary was found with child, not with cell mass, not with tissues. Mass of tissue. I say this reverently. Aren't you glad that the Virgin Mary did not have an abortion? Now, as soon as I say that, there's forgiveness for anybody who has in Christ. As soon as I say that, I want you to know if you are, or if you know anybody else that is pregnant and a mother or going to be and not married and no home, we will do everything we can in this church, including paying all the bills, for you to keep that child and have it full term and or to arrange an adoption for that child. It is not right to stand up and pound the pulpit about abortions and then not offer the help needed to some scared, spitless little girl out there, or even some hardened woman out there, without offering the other side that comes of help from Jesus in the Scriptures. And when you're pregnant with child, not tissue. This was Jesus' humanity from the moment of conception. Life child, Jesus, a child. And Mary was found with child, the virgin birth. Mary was found with child, a real person. Mary was found a child of the Holy Spirit before they came together. A work of God. I want to point out to you that the world says, come together before marriage. The Bible says, before they come together. You young people and your generation, they're going to have to hear it from you. In the whole flow of immorality, in the whole flow of sexual promiscuity, young people, tell your generation that that's not how it is. That's not how God intended it. It's not even the better way. For those who've come together before marriage, there's forgiveness for you in Christ Jesus. There's pardon for all. But you do everything you can in Christ to influence people away from the sliding, slipping avalanche of immorality when it makes no difference with whom you sleep or how frequently or whatever. And that whole thing is going to have to be confronted by the loving, pure gospel of Jesus Christ. Entertain the scorns and smiles of other people if you must. Young generation, tell it like it is. Live it like it is. Proclaim His mercies and forgiveness and proclaim His standard. Before they came together, she was with the child. That's supernatural. And so there is time between their coming together. Please notice the last verse of this, please, chapter and verse 25. Very important. And Joseph knew her, Mary, not, had no physical union with her, until she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. I point out to you that Mary and Joseph had a normal marriage relationship after Christ was born. He knew her not in physical union until after the firstborn was born, which implies after that he did. And motherhood is sacred, and motherhood is blessed of God, and all aspects of the marriage relationship. Before they came together, there was a work of the Holy Spirit done. You young people, before you're going to get married, there should be a work of the Holy Ghost done before you come together. We have marriage counseling here, and some people wonder why we have it. It's so important. There should be a work of God done in your heart before you come together. Hopefully that you've both been born of God. Hopefully that you've come to repentance and faith in Him, and hopefully you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. And if that hasn't been done, that's the first thing God wants to have happen in your life for His sake, even before you come together. Before they came together, there was a work of the Holy Ghost done in their lives. And young people coming into marriage, let that be your case in regeneration and submission to His Lordship and wanting His will first and pledging your life and your love to Him first, that is the rock upon which you'll build your marriage before you come together. Both of you agreeing so to do and indicating how. We have our marriage counseling. It's so important. I wished I'd had the course before I got married to Nancy and she with me. It would have been so much help to us understanding ourselves and our relationships with one another. Once in a while, I get someone calls me. I want to get married. A man called me last week. I want to get married before New Year's Day. Whoa, time out. You know, I'm going to stand here and wave wands over people and say, thou art married, who's next, thou art married. We can do that. We're not into that. We care about, you know, see, every wedding is followed by a marriage, okay? And so we want to do all we can to prepare people before that. And every priest and rabbi and minister with his head screwed on right understands that out in the marketplace, one out of every two marriages will be blowing up Mount St. Helens. And we know that the church is always affected by that. We got to be here to pick up pieces and help people and do what we can, prevent what we can. And that's part of the reason we have this, to get the thing on the right track, to get some evaluation. And people so in love, they don't know anything but the price of the wedding, and sometimes not even that. So we're trying to indicate before they get down into this thing that we're really looking at the spiritual things relating to each other and what you expect of each other in marriage. What's marriage all about? Are you prepared to serve with a servant heart? Is it what I'm going to give rather than what I'm going to get? I mean, all this kind of thing, to at least air it out before them. Amen. Now, not only that, before they came together, she was found with the child of the Holy Ghost. And before we have young people come together, we want a work of God to be done somewhere in their lives there. But there's a spiritual conception. That which is formed of thee shall be called the Holy Ghost, and shall be, that which is formed of thee shall be called the Son of God. How shall this be? The Spirit of God shall come upon you, and that which is formed in you shall be called Christ. And you see, this is what Christmas is all about. That God came not only to man, but he wants to come into man. That Christ came not only to man, he wants to come into man by the Holy Spirit. And this is why history is broken right there from B.C. to A.D., from before Christ to A.D., the year of our Lord. Oh, I love history. I'm a buff at it a little bit here. I dibble and dabble. I don't have a consistent, systematic view of history. I don't at all. I dibble and dabble, a little bit in the Civil War, a bit better there. But you can take all the history you want. I love history. I love to chase around history, see the great battles. The great battles of Charles Martel and all these people and the Muslims when they fought in 600 and all these things, the great naval engagements, and I just go for it. And the great Civil War and all that affected. I love to see what happened to nations when this happened and what happened to this culture. And the Romans took over the Greeks by war, but the Greeks took over the culture, the Romans by their culture and their iniquity, to see what happens. You'll need to, everything you need to know in life, you will find in history. If it's not, except for the scriptures. Everything you need to know in life comes first in the scriptures and secondly in history. Everything you need to know, period. Now, remember, with all the marching armies and navies launched, with all the statesmanship and all the statescraft, with all the democracy of Athens and Greece and all the laws of Rome and all the civil government and organization of the great Roman Empire, all of human history, all the marching satraps of the Persians, all the things of the Syrians, all the Babylonians, all the everybody you want, let all history come marching down the road, sailing its ships, marching its armies, writing its books, preaching its legislature. Let it come, and it all comes to right here. Jesus came into human history. Hold it. And if you know all about history there is to know except this point, then throw away that if you have to and pick it up right here. Jesus Christ came not only to man, but to come into man. That's history. That's all of history in a sentence. That's the meaning of history in a sentence. Everything else is a subheading and secondary too. And affected by. Christ came not only into the world, he came to come into man. That which is formed in you should be called Christ when the Holy Ghost comes upon you to enlighten, upon you to convict you, upon to convince you of your need and your sins, and to convince you that this life is but a shining, burning ember momentarily, and that while you're here in this important thing called earth and life, he's come to come into you, for the Holy Spirit to come upon you and put Christ in here as you open your doors of your heart to him and submit to his lordship. That which is formed in Mary was called the Son of God. That which is formed in you should be called the Son of God. And when you're born again, you have Christ put in you. You see, Christ is a life lived out through lives. It's you become that deposit of God's Spirit who gives Christ to you, and so you fulfill all history. What's history going to be 100 years from this point to anybody? Who cares what the Persians did and the Greeks did? Who cares what the American nation is 100 years from now? Unless you're living 100 years from now, fine. But if it wraps up in 100 years, it's wrapping up personally anyway. What will it matter then about Gettysburg? Or Valley Forge, or anything else 100 years from now for you and me personally? What will it mean in eternity's long span? This is history. Solid. Listen, Jesus is not a legend. His footprints were in Galilee. He walked the paths. He's a man in cement. History. Concrete. Real. Honest. Flesh and blood man. Born of the Virgin Mary. Sweat and worked and slept and ate. Just like you and me. God come in the flesh. Good. Now God wants to put his Spirit in us so Christ is in us again. And by his Spirit, we're born of God. You see? That which is formed in you shall become the Son of God, because the Holy Ghost will make that happen. He's formed in us. He comes into us, not by water, though we baptize, not by wafer, though we have communion, but by the Word of God and the Holy Ghost. When a man says, I'm lost and undone and bankrupt, O Lord, come be the governor of my soul. I cast my way upon you. Thank you for your redemption. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. That's Christmas. All right? That's Christmas. So when we see all our dear, sweet friends out shopping and all the folks down West Roads and South Roads and whatever roads you want to go to, and they're all going along, and you keep wondering, joy to the world. The Lord has come. This is where the joy of it is. Not the frustration of it. The joy of it. Mary was found with child. Virgin birth. Child. Work of the Holy Ghost. Joseph found Mary with child. Second chapter. Mary's found with child with the Holy Ghost. Now, secondly, Joseph found Mary with child. Verse 20. Oh, verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, excuse me, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, now that's what you've got to do. But while he thought on these things, if you can just get a man to think about something, he'll do something about it. The problem is getting a man to think about it. Hey, I got to take my shop. Where's that lathe? Where to put my gun? Where to put away that tire? I got to take care of this. Whoa. Sit thee down, friend man. Sit thee down. All right? What does Scripture say? But when he thought about these things, then he opened himself up for a revelation on a revelation. See, now understand, Mary heard from God something was happening in her life. That hadn't caught up with Joseph. So you're out there and you come to someone, you're over here, you haven't had a revelation of Christ's love. And so if someone in your office doesn't get born again, whatever that is, if someone doesn't, quote, get religion, whatever that is, and man, alive bad enough, they're in the next desk over from you. And you knew them, you've known them 5 years. And now whatever they are, they ain't. Whatever they were, they aren't. And they look the same, they wear the same clothes, they got the same look, but there's something different. Whether it's a little joy, or whether they got a new inner confidence, or whether they are just happier or something, you don't know, but you're sensing something. And so you say, whoa. And like Joseph, put her away. I don't know what it is about these people, but I used to know Joe, and whatever happened to him, I don't know, but I can't hack him now. I could hack him before. We partied together and all this kind of stuff, but whoa, I put him away. Now all you need is a revelation so you won't put him away. That's what Joseph needed. You run to a Christian, he's filled with the Holy Ghost. You never heard about it. Say, whoa, what's wrong with this person? You say, whoa, I'm going to put him away. Well, there's certain churches where they throw charismatics to the lions. Did you know that? They do. Now, all they need is a revelation of the revelation, and everybody's happy. All right? You got a Christian living with you and working with you, rather, in the office, and you really can't understand him or her. It's not that they're lousy workers. Don't ever be that Christian. It's just that I can't understand this person. No problem. Sit down and think about it. Why don't you ask them what happened to them? Man, my wife was a good wife, but she went to that kooky Trinity church. Now she's gone religious. Yeah, she might have. And maybe you're here today because you said, I'm going to get her off my back. Or this is her Christmas present. Welcome. We're glad to have you, each and every one. Isn't it wonderful? Jesus Christ will give you a revelation about your wife like he gave Joseph a revelation about his wife. I don't need one. Well, hang around a while. Maybe you do. At least you want to understand your wife, don't you? I can never understand her. Well, understand this much of her then. When Joseph thought about these things, an angel said to him, don't be afraid of this. Take Mary into your arms. She can be a good wife, because that which is happening in her is of God. Now, ladies, please be on time and get the meals there, so I'm not defending your weak points. But if she's begun this love for Christ, don't let it threaten you, men. You're not competing with Jesus for her love. You see, you cannot compete with her worship. We're not competing for her love for you. You're struggling because you're trying to compete with her worship for Christ, not her love of Christ. She loves Christ, but it's in worship. And we don't worship any man. The problem with some women is they worship their husbands. They can do no wrong. I'd like to find more husbands who worship their wives. I don't find that very often. I don't want anybody worshiping anybody, you know what I mean. But I'd rather have it that a man thought so much of his wife that she could hardly do any wrong. And it's very difficult for a woman, because if she sees a continuing gross failure and shortcoming and even sin of her husband, she has to deal with the problems of security, the problems of what will I do, the problems of how do I confront this, and he's bigger than I am, da, da, da. But may God give you wisdom if your husband persists in a gross or unvalid lifestyle, that you will confront him and say, no, I love you too much to let this go on. I suggest you read Love Can Be Tough by Dr. Dobson. All right? The revelation comes to Joseph, and he understands his wife. Every one of us as men need a revelation concerning our wives to understand them. Probably a revelation of ourselves first, understand ourselves, then understand our wives. And Joseph and Mary came through just wonderfully. Please notice, men, that the Lord says, fear not, and thou, Joseph, shall call his name Jesus. Notice, when this child shall be born, thou shalt call his name Jesus. It does not say thou shalt call his name church membership. Thou shalt call his name religion. Thou shalt call his name denomination or baptism. You, as a man, you will call his name Jesus. And when you men, along with all of us who had our day in the mercy and grace of God, saw that it was Jesus indeed who loved us and wanted to move into us by the Holy Spirit, we said, that's Jesus in me. You will call man, not Mary, Jesus. Joseph will call him Jesus. And you men, bless your hearts, you are coming into this knowledge, and those of you who are there, you call him Jesus, and you can share with men, this is Jesus. Why, as Jesus has come into my life, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. You, Joseph, you, Bill and Harry and Mark, you shall call him Jesus. I will call him Jesus. That's the one of whom we worship and whom we pray to and we're blessed by and live for. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Come not only to the world, but come into me and come into you. That's the Christmas story, okay? Mary was found with child. Joseph found Mary with child. And then thirdly, the child is found. Today we are celebrating the birth of our Lord, the event of it. No longer is Bethlehem's manger his throne room. The child became the living Savior, a full-grown man. The full-grown man became the dying, bleeding Lamb. The dying, bleeding Lamb, the Son of God, became the risen Lord and is today and at this hour reigning from the right hand of his Father, waiting for the trumpet sound that only the Father knows and which Christ knows in his deity but not in his humanity, when the world will end, time as we know it, vanish and wrap it up, and the eternal life of God and the eternal creation he has for us sets in, and this life's all wrapped up and gone. History as we know it will no longer cease to be. That's what he's waiting for, and that's his portion this morning. But since we're thinking of him as a child only this morning, but not ever forgetting his mighty deity wedded to his humanity glorified. And because there is a man, capital M, in heaven, there will be men and mankind in heaven. Because he is wedded to himself in a mystery that none can understand. Deity has wedded humanity to itself in the second person of the deity and is in heaven forever. Therefore, we shall be who are in him. Christology is the study of Christ coming into history, coming into mankind, coming into individuals. Now, right about now, someone say, well, look, that sounds awful important. Hey, it is. That sounds awfully good, but am I going to be able to retain my respectability? I mean, I want to be thought of as an intellectual, quiet Episcopalian. I want to be known as a solid Methodist. I mean, we've been solid Methodists for 4 generations, 5, 6. I always want to be thought of as a good Roman Catholic. Well, hey, look, joy to the world, the Lord has come. And by the time God gets through having Christmas, there's not much respectability left for anyone, including God. Yeah, let's take a look at it. Well, right off the bat, Mary lost her reputation. I mean, you and I know the story, see? But you don't think the wags and old ladies in Bethlehem at the town well thought that was what the story was, do you? Oh, they say, yeah, Mary, that's a girl who got in trouble. Let me talk to you about her. I always knew she was going to go bad. She didn't get any respectability. Joseph didn't get any because either he got her pregnant or somebody else did. And if he did, he's a bad guy. And if he didn't, he's a nitwit to Mary because somebody else did. So he didn't get any respect. And then the wise men, they didn't get any respect. Can you see their near relatives? Where's Abashahal? Abashahal, he left 3 months ago. He did. I came to see him. He's gone. What did he go for? I don't know. He's chasing some star across the heavens. A nitwit. I don't know where he's gone to. Well, he didn't get any respect. The shepherds didn't get any respect. I mean, you had to be crazy. You leave your rolling stock up on the hill, that's your income for the coming year, all those sheep and lambs up there. One wolf gets in there for 10 minutes, and you're going to find 50 carcasses. And these idiots leave that stuff up on the hill, come down to find some baby. You mean to think that when it came to the Farmers Association forum meeting that month, they said, you know, those are guys that left the sheep, the nitwits. Leaving that up there could have been ripped out of the whole business. They didn't get any business respect. And God didn't get any respect. I mean, anybody would send his son down like that. I mean, real God putting his son in the stable and then die bloodily, a bloody God. He didn't get any respect. Most of America says, God who? Jesus who? Except when I'm mad, I like to use the name of Jesus when I swear. Makes me feel authoritative. Well, I mean, God didn't get any respect out of it. Most of America doesn't care, give me any respect. They sing, oh, joy to the world.
the Lord is come. Let us all do our thing. And in some churches, that's what's sung too, by the way. So, I mean, why should God be concerned about your reputation? He didn't take care of his own. So if we're going to come through the door, forget your reputation, folks. Forget the girls down the club. I mean, that's their problem. You found him who is the everlasting life. All right? Well, look, how about my security? Is this popular? I don't know. I mean, is there anybody famous around who believes this? So if somebody asked me if I believe in Jesus, I'd get in blush and say, yeah, but let me tell you, this famous person that believes in Jesus. Now, I want to tell you, I'm sitting down, I'm a little kid, I'm 9 years old, I'm a munchkin, all right? A large munchkin. And I'm looking at my breakfast of champions, Wheaties. And I'm turning the box around while I munch. And it says, Phil Rizzuto eats Wheaties. Man, I'm going to eat Wheaties. If Phil Rizzuto, shortstop, Yankees, I remember, I think. Warren Spahn eats Wheaties. Well, I'm going to eat Wheaties. I'm going to be like Warren. Hey, we're not selling Jesus on the breakfast of champions. Well, if someone in the NFL believes in Jesus, then I believe in Jesus. Well, now, I appreciate all the influence of Christian men in sports. Hear me. But if you give your heart to Christ and are trusting to get off the embarrassment kick because you can name some NFLer or some guy, Elvin Hayes or whoever, and say, well, it can't be too bad because Elvin's into it. Hey, you're in problems. If nobody believes it, never mind who's famous, thank God for every famous person that ever bowed the knee to the most famous person in the world, the only one, King Jesus. Let's go back to the first Christmas. Hey in there, anybody famous in that stable? Mary, are you famous? If anybody famous coming to Jesus, what are you waiting for? A majority vote? Waiting for some movie star to get converted? Some president to come right out and say, I love Jesus and I'm born again? Oh, in that case, here we come. Hey, that already happened to the church. 300 when Constantine came in, problem. Is it going to be kind of lonely? Yeah, it might. But he said, I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. If you're waiting for a majority vote, oh, church, you're a majority here. When you hit the locker room down the spot tomorrow, it won't be. But when you hit Union Pacific's tracks tomorrow, it won't be. You might find a Christian brother and come up and you find that warm hand clasp and say, brother, he said, brother, praise God. And they're saying, blankety blank God, what are you guys talking about anyway? A little bit of Jesus. Jesus, hey guys, oh, Jesus who? A few that are interested and the rest that aren't. We're not waiting for a majority vote. We're not waiting for someone famous to get there. He is Lord. He's God's famous one. Is it going to be lonely? Might be. Depends where you are. But you'll never be left alone. Well, is it going to be convenient? No, it's never convenient to repent. Never convenient. No, it's not like saying, let me see. Get out my day timer. Tuesdays. Look over Tuesday's schedule here. Let me see. 1 o'clock appointment, 2 o'clock appointment. See. Nothing at 3. Three on Tuesday. I think maybe I'll just repent that day. I don't have anything else to do, so we just repent on Tuesday at 3. It's never convenient to repent. Never. Not convenient to become a Christian. Never convenient. But it's important. It's blessed. It's the name of the game. If you're waiting for your glands to have a majority vote and say, yeah, go repent, don't wait for it. You run your glands, they don't run you. You run your emotions, they don't run you. No, it wasn't convenient for Mary in her fourth week of her ninth month to walk 100 miles down from Bethlehem, from Nazareth to Bethlehem. That wasn't convenient. And don't say she was on a donkey, because I don't know. A Christmas car's notwithstanding. We can't prove she rode. She had a walk, unless Joseph carried her and he didn't carry her. And we men know nothing about that, but you dear women, you want to take off in your ninth month of pregnancy walking 100 miles, you got the message. That's not convenient. It's not convenient to be born in a stable. It's not convenient to walk. And when the Herod says, get those people, take their heads off, and the angel says, get out of here and go down to Egypt, and then they get up and they walk another 90 miles minimum as the crow flies, so you're probably looking at 120 miles, into Egypt to flee Herod's wrath. That's not convenient, folks. You have to move a lot. Well, is it risky? Yeah, it is. It's risky.
could cost you your life. This book was written for the whole world. You see, the people in Russia can relate to this. The believer who passed out of track, he gets 6 years, and he's thrown in a prison camp that we can't describe. He passed out two gospel tracts on the street, and he gets 6 years. When's the last time you passed out a tract? Well, I don't want them to misunderstand me. I don't either, but I'd rather have somebody being misunderstood than somebody doing nothing. True, brother. The good news is we have that liberty here. Is it risky? Yep. Mary and Joseph escaped with their life down to Egypt. Their life was in danger. Christ's life was in danger. Herod was after him. The wise men were in danger on the way back because Herod seen he'd been had because God the Holy Ghost through an angel said, don't go back that way. He'll take your head off. So they go this way. Herod says, where are those people? And a whole bunch of little babies in Bethlehem got butchered because Herod went down and said, I know he's 2 years old or less because that's what the men told me. They said the star came up 2 years ago. Kill every baby in there 2 years of age and under. And they had wholesale funerals in Bethlehem. Is it risky to become a Christian? Absolutely. It's a nice, easy America. That's right. Hey, this book is written for Nicaragua. This book is written for the Philippines. I get letters from missionaries in the Philippines. Communism, here we come, all the way through. This is written for the whole world, folks. And I want to tell you, that's why Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him put me before mom and dad and brother and sister if they oppose me, and wife and children if they oppose me, and your life also, Luke 14:25-26. And Christ is saying, you might have to lay down your life for me sometime. And I want you to know it right up front. That, my friends, is the true dimension of the true gospel. And I'm not going to preach some little watered-down, K-market, ticket-to-heaven stuff. This is involved in the solid, simple New Testament gospel. And if you're not hearing it that way, you're hearing it now. I'm no hero. I want to die in a former bed on white sheets with all my family around me singing hymns and holding my hand. I have no heroism in me. But I'm telling you, this gospel message can include your life. And a lot of you in this room are going to live 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years longer than I am, beyond my days. And I want you to incorporate this in your heart, that you will never be shocked or surprised if you find at some time yourself looking at a firing squad because you love Jesus. It's happening in South America. It happened in Korea. It happens in Russia. It hasn't happened here, and I trust to God it never will. But I'm telling you, that is an implication of commitment to Christ. All right? Good news. They're down in Egypt, and the word comes, and it says, the angel says, they are dead which sought your life. Herod has come and gone. His son Archelaus, who took his place, has come and gone. The Jewish nation has come and gone and come, and so let it rip. Those that sought your life are dead. All the enemies go. King Jesus lives on forever. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. This is the harmony and the purpose of your whole life. This is why history was snapped. And I don't know whether you're B.C. or A.D. Are you B.C. today? That is before conversion, before Christ, before commitment. Then your history is still going on. It's never been bent, never been snapped, except on your legal documents and on your mortgage and all the rest of the stuff. Listen, A.D., year of our Lord, always doing his will. Now, where are you? It's just as surely as this church is divided right down here. Over here and here. As surely as it's divided. Everybody in this room is either B.C. or A.D. There's nothing in between. No one's standing in the aisle. Nobody's straddling it. Impossible. The gospel is B.C. or A.D. That is human history in all its dimensions coming to a burning apex. Jesus, who came to man and wants to come into man as Lord and Master. And that's what it's all about. And the rest is simply edging and secondary. Let us pray. In the midst of your busiest social week or weeks, in the midst of your busiest family life, Christ wants to come into you. In the midst of the biggest tourist trade and people running around in Judea and Israel, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the Roman world should be taxed, and every man went to his own house. It was the biggest cram and and stampede on the turnpikes, everybody going somewhere to get somewhere so they line up with Roman law and pay their taxes. In the midst of the busiest travel time, social time, motel time, hotel time, restaurant press in Israel's history, Jesus Christ came. In the midst of your busiest week, I'm asking those of you who are B.C. to become A.D., year of our Lord, always doing His will. This begins with receiving Him for who He is, Lord and Savior. Shall we stand, please? And I know the press of family and friends and all there is to do. So did Joseph and Mary. But I'm taking just about 3 minutes this morning, and it's still pretty early for me, considering. I would not want to exalt the Lord Jesus and present Him to you without your saying, I will respond, Lord, I don't care about respectability. I don't care about my security. I'm coming, and you want you to begin right in here. You've come to me, now come into me and save me. Take over, my sins are great, your love is greater. My rebellion has been large. Grace is larger. Come in and take over, Lord. I'll thank you that my life is turned over to you today. Then do that work in me. And that which is formed in you will be formed by the Holy Spirit, will be called Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm not going to press or push today. I'm asking for you to settle your minds on this. And like Joseph of old, when he thought on these things, he received his life from God. We're going to sing, Jesus is Lord. He is. And then we're going to sing through three times and we're done. And put first things first as we close and as you close with Him. Father, clear the atmosphere of all the push of procrastination, any demonic procrastination, any excuses being fed to the minds of human beings, that Christ may have His rightful place. In Jesus' name, amen. You come as we sing. For He is Lord, He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Again, for He is Lord. Oh, elders, if you'll join us at this hour before we sing again. We're going to sing through twice more. We're done. One has come. That'll encourage you. She's not waiting for a majority vote. None of us are. We just bless you, Lord. So elders, come as we sing. For He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead. And He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Singing one more time and then we're done. We're not going to hold it and beg and plead. The overtures of the Holy Spirit are sufficient. Just respond to the truth, not to a pastor, not to a church, responding to the person of our Savior, beginning a life in Him, that which is formed in you will be called Christ in you, the hope of glory. When everything else has passed away, He will remain. And more than that, even this life, we have the beauty of His knowledge and the personal relationship with Him, which can be an expanding, growing thing. Thank You, Lord, for these have come. Speak to the rest that they should respond to You, Lord, in this hour and this day. For He is Lord, He is Lord, He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for these who've come. Lord, we bless You. You healed 10 lepers and one came back to say thank You. This gospel shall go out into all the world for witness, then shall the end come. And surely, Lord, again, with all sincerity, You have invited people. It's not a phony invitation. It's not mysterious. It's plain, it's simple. Let them that have ears to hear what the Spirit says to them. And we thank You, Lord, that which shall be formed in them will be the very person and life of Christ by the indwelling Spirit who comes to rebirth us on the inside. Be with each one here today, Lord. We thank You for each one. We love each one. We thank You that You're working Your own will out in their obedient lives. And where it's not that way, then incline them to repent that they may have their will submitted to You. Thank You for Your goodness and Your grace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay. You want to take a chance?